gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
You're talking to two guys from Hialeah and West Kendall and one with a Raleigh Fingers mustache, so I think you're good.
Ricky Vaughn style, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Who flips their bat like that in a single?
I'm here for
a guy that's hitting 200, bro.
Listen, you paid $5 for your ticket, even if you're sitting behind home plate.
Skip gets paid the big bucks. He knows a little better than I do.
And he's very handsome.
So handsome.
Super handsome.
Your expectations as a Marlins fan should have changed by now.
All the feels, man. Like, I love Pablito so much.
It depends on what you give up.
I don't like that question, Danny.
I don't.
What would you let me see it if I can't have it? Like, I feel like the Marlins.
Jerk.
Starting staff has looked so much better.
All three of them.
I'm looking forward to this one, guys.
I believe.
The Marlins have the worst run differential in the National
League. Oh, man. Now, this was the wrong choice. But
I am ready to get hurt again.
Welcome, Battered Fans, to episode number 40 of the Battered Marlins Fans Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granata. And alongside me, I got two other Battered Fans. So let's start from my left to your right. Mr. Brant Griffin, how are you doing, sir?
Battered.
There you go.
Battered, I think, is the best way to describe it. You know, on top of having to watch the Marlins, do whatever it was they're doing on the field. I don't think it's baseball. I had to find out that, the team I've adopted, the Baltimore Orioles, someone in our fan base who annoys the living shit out of me, has also decided to choose to jump ship. And no, I'm not talking about the man to my right. Callie, care to weigh in?
All right, I guess one thing at a time here. I'm fucking depressed. Like, just dog shit baseball today.
Well, Callie, you thought that this would be a bad year, but I don't think you thought it would be this bad.
I did think we were going to take a step back. I did think we were going to be worse than last year, but this is, like, especially terrible baseball that we're playing. Like, it's not entertaining. I put a tweet out and everything's like, I don't know what to do anymore, man. Like, this isn't enjoyable. This isn't fun for me. We wait all fucking summer for baseball to come back. And now I'm watching it. And I'm like, do I have to? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, but it's terrible. But on the plus side, I'm wearing our merch today, party like it's 1997.
Yeah,
that's all I can think about because the present time is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, I'm moving to Baltimore. You know, I've adopted the Orioles because of that. You know, they got their teeth kicked in too. And I just feel like I'm setting a trend a little bit, you know? So it's cool. It's fine. I'm admirable, so it's okay.
Well, I mean, this year is going to be a little different, if it seems, because last year the routine was, let's go over the previous series game by game. Let's talk about what we thought about this game, key plays in that game. I don't think we need to do that anymore because it seems like it's just going to be a whole lot of just like bad rolled into one. So maybe we can go series by series, just in general. Like, for example, the Cardinals, since we last recorded, we played two games. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday, we had that random Friday off, which is going to be the only Friday off we have all season. And then we lost on Saturday 3-1, and then we got our first victory of the season, scoring 10 runs against the Cardinals, 10-3. At that point, did you think things were going to get turned around?
No.
Nope.
Of course not. Of course not. But it was nice to put up 10 runs. But worst start in franchise history, which is saying a lot because this team has a lot of bad seasons in its history. But we're starting franchise history. The pitching has been atrocious. The hitting has been, I think, better than I expected. Then, not enough. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that we were going to take a huge step back without Solar. And, I mean, I just didn't know what to expect out of this lineup since we didn't really add much outside of, I guess, keeping Berger and Bell after the trade deadline last year.
And I think as far as the pitching's concerned, I think the bullpen pitching has really sucked. Mm-hmm. We've seen good games like today. Trevor Rogers looked pretty good, only gave up 2 runs while he was in there. Max Myers had some good performances. Brian Weathers had a decent game the other night as well. And it's just, you know, maybe we score three or four runs, but then the bullpen gives up eight. Or tonight, what the hell did we give up? Eight. Yeah, eight.
Bullpen gave up six runs.
Yeah. Five in the seventh because Soriano loaded the bases. And
Soriano hasn't been looking good.
Nobody's looked good. Tanner Scott, the other day when he came in and got the save against the Yankees, it looked like he was going to give it up. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about the St. Louis series, though, is Jake Berger homered on his birthday. That was awesome.
In his hometown. Yeah.
Yeah.
He grew up a Cardinals fan, so that's cool.
And, you know, I know Callie brought up in our group chat that video. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Callie. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to talk about baseball, so we might as well talk about some of the ancillary things that come with the Marlins.
Let's go.
You know, Jake Berger, like, the Marlins put out a cool video of, like, his grandparents, like, you know, going through, like his grandfather had, like, this scrapbook of, like, every moment, like, good and bad, you know, and he, you know, and I thought that was really cool. And then, he talked about how, you know, after Berger tore his Achilles and, you know, he was struggling with that, even the grandfather said, like, that was the beginning of the slide downhill mentally for Jake. You know, the grandfather talked about how, you know, he couldn't relate to him because he'd had a stroke. And it was kind of like, you know, he understood the rehab process and what it took to kind of get bounced back from something like that. And Jake Berger in general has been very open about mental health and stuff like that, which I think that not just in sports, I think even deeper than that, I think especially amongst men, it's something that we kind of ignore talking about. I think we all mm-hmm. kind of grew up with parents mm-hmm. that said, like, you know, hide your feelings, like you don't show that, like wear it on, you know, shove it in your pocket and keep moving forward. And I think it's cool that we have this figure on our team, this guy who's gone through some pretty tough stuff, and he's been very open about it, about some of the struggles he's had. And I just think it's encouraging that that he's using his platform to talk about the things that are hard to talk about, especially I think amongst men. And, you know, I think it's something we need to do more. Like, we need to let it out. We need to talk about it. We need to, you know, none of us have it figured out. Life's fucking hard, you know, especially watching the fucking Marlins. It's a fucking disaster. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's cool that, you know, he's creating the space that we can talk about it. And I know mental health is definitely something I've struggled with. It's something that I actively seek help for on a regular basis. So I think that's cool. I thought that was, you know, that hit in a special place in my heart because I know where I've been mentally. I know the work it's taken for me to kind of get to where I am now. So I appreciate that Jake is so vulnerable in showing that.
Yeah, I think that hit me the same way. But, you know, I think it's awesome that, I'll say it again, the only good thing about this team is the marketing team, that they put that out there and they were like, hey, we're going to push this. And it got a lot of traction, not just like with Marlins fans, like a lot of people discovered Jake Berger and his story. And if you go back and like you look at his time with the White Sox and like when he was really struggling with mental health, like the guy almost retired. Like he just was in a tough spot, and for him to work out of it. And the really sad thing about the whole thing is it feels like from the video, he's found a home.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know how much longer he's going to be here.
Yeah. He's not finishing.
He might because he's the most controllable guy on our team. He's got the longest arbitration window. So it's possible because he'll be cheap, but it's just, it just makes you feel like I just want Berger to stay.
100%.
I'm so attached now.
But unfortunately, if we're really honest about the first, 2 weeks now, he's been the most consistent hitter.
Yeah.
Even though Arise is technically batting a higher batting average, Berger has been the most consistent hitter. He's been our best offensive player. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I don't expect him to stay. Because controlled or not, if I was another team, that's who I would want on my World Series contender. That's who I'm looking for. So unfortunately, I don't think he's long for this. And And I hate to say it because I've also loved Burger and what is it, Burger Fridays now and whatever else they're doing at the stadium. So let's just real quick. The Yankee series got spanked, salvaged that last game. Like you said, Tanner Scott felt like he might give up that third game, got the second win. And then today got our ass kicked by the Braves, although it was a good start. Bullpen gave it up. So we went, what, 2-4 or 5 over the last week. So I don't even want to get into details of the games because it's just been horrible. So we could talk about just in general terms. AJ Puck. He's leading the league in walks. He is now the new Edward Cabrera. He is not made to be a starter. He's not made to be a closer. Maybe he could live in the bullpen somehow. I mean, the bullpen needs help. So maybe he can help it out somehow. What do you guys think? Well,
the good news is the original Eddie Cabrera should be back with the team this weekend.
So Puck held it down long enough.
Yeah, he I think he's got his final rehab start with Jacksonville either today or I think it's tomorrow. He's going to stretch out to 95 pitches, and he should be back with the big league club. Brax is not too far behind him.
Yeah,
Brax has been recovering a little bit faster. He's going I think he's going this weekend. He's going to stretch out to 85, and then he'll probably have one more rehab start, and then he'll be back probably the end of next week. So reinforcements are coming, but the problem is whoever they hand the ball to in the bullpen is going to fuck it up. So who cares?
Or maybe they go from Cabrera to Puck. I think that's a beautiful transition.
Yeah, I think Puck can be that guy.
Yeah, and Puck, like, he's like the walks are bad. Like, the walks are obviously bad. Aside from that, like, he hasn't looked absolutely terrible. Like, he gave up the home run to Verdugo in that series, but it's like, It wasn't a bomb by any stretch. Like, I saw something that, like, that's only a home run in, like, 8 other ballparks or something like that in the league. So it's not like, you know, it wasn't a tower or something like that. And Yankee Stadium is historically a shoebox.
Love it.
But, I mean, yeah. But, with AJ Puck, I just find myself holding my breath every time the ball's about to come out of his hand. Like, Danny, I think you nailed it. Like, he's clearly not a starter. And then the closer, again, he had an incredible stretch in the beginning of last season as a closer. And then it seems like he's never really bounced back after that. You know, he
Brian
might just
hit
be
it on the head. Brian called his dead arm, and then he never bounced back from that.
Yeah. I think, you know, if he can be an efficient middle relief guy or even a long reliever type, you know, I think that'll be fine. But, you know, I don't think starting's for him. You know, it sucks because, you know, we were expecting a lot out of him. And I remember when they were talking about making him a starter, I feel like all of us were kind of like, I don't know about that one. Mm-hmm. And I hate that.
I wasn't.
That's right.
I was in. Yeah. I was sucked in, and I think.
Yeah.
He had a good spring training.
He did. And he hasn't been like, he's walked a lot, but like, he's got a lower ERA than Lizardo. Like, who thought we would say that? Like, at this point in the season, like,
you know who he doesn't have a lower ERA than?
Max Meyer, my six man.
And six,
Spazzy's boy, Sixto.
Listen, Spazzy said we couldn't. Actually, that's not true. Sixto's ERA is 10.38 right now. AJ Puck's is 5.91. So.
I'm sorry. Yes. I meant is lower than. Yeah, I knew Sixto was up in the.
Yeah.
In the
no, Sixto's a 10.
Yeah. Sixto's horrible.
The only one who has a higher ERA is Kent Emmanuel, and I think he's gone. So
he's gone. He'll be a fade.
Yeah.
Puck, all right.
You know, I think Puck's going to go back to the bullpen.
This is my question. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
No, and it's probably the question you're going to ask is by the end of next week, we have Brax and Cabrera back. Who
right
goes?
Here, huh?
Yeah.
Puck because goes.
Puck probably goes Puck back to the bullpen, but
fucking Weathers.
Our worst starter, but Weathers is 1-1 with a 2.57 ERA right now. Weathers is dealing.
I just don't think they send Rogers to the pen. That'd be the other option, but
right. It's crazy to think about. Like, we're talking about a team with two wins. But now we've got two starters coming back from injury, and we're like, oh, who do we put in the pen? And maybe it is AJ Puck goes to like middle relief, and then you have Ryan Weathers as like a long reliever. That could help the bullpen, because I don't want to give the ball to anybody that's there right now. No.
Except Bender. So, Bender's been pretty good.
Bender, yeah. Absolutely.
Cronin had been good.
Cronin was doing great, and the motherfucker is chilling in Jacksonville right now.
I remember I thought to myself, like, oh, man, we got something with Cronin. Nope. Yeah. Not for long.
Yeah.
You know what I did today, earlier today, to try to prepare for this episode? I was trying my best to think positive.
Cry.
I was like, I'm gonna find some way to work the numbers to be positive, because I love numbers. And I looked, and I couldn't find shit. And I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. It's true. The schedule started very difficult. So I was like, let me see how we did against these teams last year. And then if we would have played these teams at the beginning of the year like we did this year, our schedule would probably be still rough, right? But those games have to happen regardless. Maybe we win the other games. We had a winning record against the Yankees. We had a winning record against the Pirates. We had a winning record against the Cardinals. And then against the Braves, obviously, we had a losing record. There is no way to flip this and make us feel better. The only thing you could say is that we have Gary coming back and Cabrera, I guess. But is that really going to change much? I don't think so. But I tried. I'm telling you. I looked at so many different numerical statistics and the competition coming up the next week. I can't find any positives coming up.
And what's worse is that, like, everything just feels like it keeps piling on, because something we haven't talked about yet is the fact that we got the news that that Skip, you know, either Skip or the team decided that they're waiving his option for next year. So Skip is gone after this year.
Yep.
So I think I think that news probably trickles into the clubhouse too, because it's almost like everyone's looking around like, well, what the fuck are we playing for then? Like, we were all bought into Skip, and now Skip isn't coming back.
You know, wasn't like Jazz just saying how happy he was and how things changed once Skip got there?
Yeah. You know, it's like
that interview was basically like a job reference.
Yeah.
It was like the Cardinals were like, oh shit, Jazz loves this guy. Jazz hates everybody. Let's get him.
it was Jazz's like public cover letter. So I think that can have an effect on morale too. And you know, these guys aren't dumb, and they understand the business aspect of this. And I think we do too. That I think now it's just like, well, how many of us are going to be around in May? You know, like, Skip's gone. So that's a big giant reset for this club, you know? So, I'm going to tell you exactly how this is going to play out. You know, Skip is going to be fired at some point during the season. I would guess probably around the All-Star break.
Okay.
We're going to trade off every valuable asset we have. All right. And that's Berger. That's Arise. That's Lizardo. That's Jazz.
Bell.
They're all going to be traded. We're going to load up on prospects. All right. I we'll probably keep, you know, Sandy and Yuri around to keep people happy and stuff like that. But, you know, they're going to roll. We're after the All-Star break, you know, we're going to see Troy Johnson and Tristan Gray and Dane Myers getting regular
starts,
playing time, starts. Vidal Brujan is going to be our full-blown.
Jacksonville's full-blown been tearing it up. I mean,
Brujan is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, he made a great play today, but anyway. That's going to happen.
Defensively, he's been bad. I thought he would be good defensively. He's been bad on both ends.
Yeah, he's not good. But so that's going to happen, and then they're going to hire some nobody to babysit those prospects.
Probably the Rays single A manager. I don't know who that is, but that'll be it. We got to get somebody from the Rays.
Yeah, they'll get someone who's good at sitting in front of a camera, who's probably pretty good at developing young guys.
Ooh, something just hit me.
And we're going to suck for the next 2-3 years until we cross our fingers and hope that some of these prospects pan out. And then when they reach their peak value, we're going to rinse and repeat this process for the rest of our lives, as long as Bruce Sharman is the owner.
Which is brutal.
Do you think because of the Marlins, it's the Marlins, right? Like, they're going to do something to try and get people to stay and like say, hey, we're doing a fire sale, but whatever. I forget. God, and this is terrible. It's been a long week, so I forget her name. The woman we hired for player development.
Rachel.
Yes, Rachel.
Rachel Brewer.
Yes. Who was minor league manager in the Yankee system.
Rachel Balkovich.
Yes.
Honestly, I was thinking that. A real good hire. You know.
I'd be okay. I mean, listen, anybody you hire after Skip is gonna really have a tough job because Skip has done fantastic. But that might be something to kind of keep in the back of our mind that Rachel might get the job after Skip. I thought Kapler, but then I was like, he's just the wish Cali. Like, why not just hire Cali? Like, we saw the video he did, like, ripping you off. Like, come on.
He stopped making those videos, though. I haven't seen any.
After Cali put out his video, he's like, fuck, I'm not doing this again.
So he said call off the season. You know what? We were talking about the morale in the locker room. Understandably so. But I think this is the hardest part of baseball. When you start this poorly, at some point, you drag your feet to go to the games and to batting practice and whatnot. And when you know that you still have you have 148 games left, 148 games left, and the season feels like it's already over, it's got to be a drag. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine how that must feel right now.
Yeah, it's demoralizing, man. And it's like, you know, it's the beginning of the season, and like the season isn't won or lost in April by any stretch, but you know, it's tough because it's not like we're seeing good baseball that's encouraging. You know, it's not like we're losing one run games. It's not like we're being competitive at the plate. It's not like we're losing pretty significantly almost every time we play, which is upsetting.
Yeah, but
and granted, we've played aside from the Angels, we've played three good teams.
Yeah. But I think one thing to keep in mind too is like in most games we put up runs, we scored runs. Like it's not like last year where we were winning games like or losing games by a run, like two, only scoring two or three or whatever. Like we're scoring runs. The starters for the most part, three of them have looked pretty decent so far this season and gotten, you know, not deep into games, but gotten to fifth, sixth inning. Defensively, you know, like we're about as bad as we thought we were going to be. But the bullpen is really like what's fucking
astonishingly bad.
Yeah,
astonishingly terrible.
It's insane because like, and I find myself checking the news every day to see if Brazoban has gotten whatever his immigration problem is sorted out. And can get back from the Dominican Republic. Like, we need relievers.
Can I tell you how battered Marlins fans are? I also thought our hitting isn't that bad. Like, we're scoring runs. There's only one team in the National League that has scored less runs than us, and they've played one game less. The Marlins, the Nats.
Oh, the Nats.
The Nats have scored two runs less than us, and they've played one game less. We are not hitting as good. Like, for us, this is good hitting, and it's still almost the worst in the National League. That's how bad this is.
And I think kind of like you were talking about, like, the mentality in the dugout and the clubhouse. Like, when you go into, like, the fifth inning, and you've got a 3-1 lead, and then here comes, you know, Sixto coming in, and then all of a sudden you blink and you're down seven runs. Like, I at that point, like, as a hitter, you just like, fuck, we can't go back. Yeah.
And the thing is, hitting is already so hard. Like, I'm sure I've said it on here, but I definitely say it in conversation. Like, hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
100%.
Like, it is painfully difficult. So to have to ask that much of the lineup every day is a lot. It's a lot, you know, but it doesn't help that I would say three or four of our main guys in our lineup just can't fucking hit. Mm-hmm. Like Avi Garcia cannot fucking hit. Nick Fortes cannot fucking hit. Emmanuel Rivera, he drove one in today, but you know, he's a question mark. you know, and it, bro, the thing is this shit is contagious, bro. Like, this type of play, it is contagious. You know, when, and at the end of the day, you're only strong as your weakest link, and our weak links are, like, if this is like an iron chain, like, they're made of fucking paper clips.
Yeah, and they're rusted up. Yeah. And last year, although we weren't hitting great, we still had Arise hitting almost 400 for, like, the first half of the year. Like, and you knew he was getting on base.
And our pitching was
obviously right. And then our pitching. Yeah. Like, this team and this franchise will forever rely on the pitching. They'll develop good young pitching and rely on that because they can't afford to pay for a big bat. And that's just what this team's going to rely on historically until they get a different type of owner. And right now, the bats, they're just not working. We're batting second worst in the entire major leagues. And we have the worst on-base percentage in the entire major leagues. Like, we say we're batting better, but it's not showing statistically. And that's how battered we are as a fan base, which really sucks. It really sucks, especially when I saw how the marketing department was going. I was like, you know what? Coming off the playoffs, they're really pushing this. It's really cool. I'm getting excited. And, man, it ended in less than a week. It felt like. It sucks.
How bad did that Skip It campaign backfire?
Yeah, now they're using the
opening day thing. I was like, yeah, skip it, let's do this. And then, like, now it's like, yeah, let's just skip the season.
Yeah, especially it turned around on them. Now everybody's like, gonna watch the Marlins game? Nah, skip it. It's wild how this turned around. I have a question for you guys before we get into the predictions for this upcoming week. Obviously, hindsight is 2020. So it's almost unfair to ask this question. But would it have been better to just do the fire sale in the offseason?
Yes.
And take the backlash. Because there would have been backlash. We would have been really upset coming off the playoff appearance. And I think that's why they didn't do it. Because, like Cali told us after last episode, I believe, this was like almost planned. Like, we're going to do like shit to excuse the fire sale. And it feels like that's what happened. But at this point, if that was really the plan, this is just fucking just done it. Take the backlash. We'll be back next year. So what do you think, Brian?
So I think, trying to channel my inner Bendix, and generally what happens if you have these guys like performing at as a decent level by the trade deadline, you're probably going to get a little bit more than what you would if you did this in the off season.
Yeah.
So, because, like, you know, the Yankees are going to be like, oh man, John Birdie, like, it's not really cutting at third base. What's it going to take to get Berger?
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody's going to be like, man, we need a third starter. Like, what's the price on Lizardo? And they're going to start calling. And then at that point, the buyers are going to set the market. Like, the Marlins aren't going to say, like, in the offseason, the Marlins can't really say, like, yeah, well, this is what we value him at. And then, you know, we have the Padres who are like, yeah, give us Lizardo and Arise. And, yeah, we'll give you, like, we don't really have any prospects, but we'll give you, like, a couple of the guys. So I think it just – the offseason market probably just didn't develop. And we saw that with free agency. Like, it was weird. Nothing happened until Otani happened, and then it just kind of trickled out. And then
– yeah.
You know, fizzled out. So I think probably it was smart not to do it from like a business standpoint.
You think you'll get more now
in the offseason? I think he's gonna he potentially could if we can start performing. If everybody's performing like shit by the deadline, then you've kind of lost some value there. So, you know,
with morale going down, I hope that they don't, their performance doesn't also accompany. I hope they're trying to kind of build up their price to end up on a good team.
Well, and so that, you know, that's part of the hope. But then, you know, I think a lot of the hope is like, we're about to get two really good starters back. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there is hope within that locker room, because the locker room doesn't look defeated. And when you listen to them talk, like, they don't sound like they're ready to throw in the towel. And we know Skip has not created an environment where that would be acceptable. He wouldn't tolerate that. And so I'm hoping these two guys come back and maybe we start seeing a little bit of improvement. I at this point, we're not making the playoffs. Like, that's not going to happen. No. And there will be assets traded. But maybe if we can come back and actually start putting up a fight in a lot of these games, maybe Bendick says, we have Sandy and Yuri coming back next year. Maybe we don't need to tear everything down. But maybe we trade off like an Arise at the deadline, trade off a Lizardo at the deadline to rebuild some prospects, but then also be in a position where we may be able to compete. And if we can't, we blow it up.
What do you think, Kyle? Do you think you should have just done it in the offseason?
Yeah, I said a lot. I mean, I say that as a fan, right? Like, right. Brian's 100% right as from a value perspective. Got people.
And you're right.
People
you're right about how we feel.
Yeah, like, as a fan, like, if this was the plan, like, fuck it, rip off the Band-Aid, like, trade everyone off, and, you know. And I also said that, like, because you asked, like, oh, would I be happier just watching the prospects if that was good? Like, yes, because at least I would know there's direction. At least I would know there's a plan, like, okay, this is going to suck for 2 years. You know, it's going to be ugly. We're only going to win fucking 65, 70 games a year. And that's fine. I can fucking live with that. Like, if that's the plan, if you're telling me, like, look, guys, it's going to suck. It's going to hurt. We're going to let these guys go. But we're doing this so that in 4, 5, 6 years, you know, we're like the Orioles. We're bringing guys up through our system and we're hopefully making a real run. We're like the Braves, or the Astros, that we're developing guys from within.
The Astros is a great example
to build something sustainable, right? But right now it's just like it's just a hodgepodge of like, okay, like we had a shot for the playoffs, so we made push, but then the offseason is like, okay, we're changing our mind. And the fact of the matter is we were a power bat away, and we were probably a bullpen arm away. And obviously sucking it up with the rotation until Cabrera and Garrett came back from being competitive, from being a pretty good team.
Yeah.
You know, but instead it's like, okay, we're not gonna sign any free agents, you know, we're gonna sign one free agent, we're not gonna address the bullpen by any stretch. You know, we're gonna rely on guys that are here that aren't big league ready, or gonna rely on prospects that aren't that good comparatively to the rest of the league. Like, if you'd have told me all that, like, okay, cool, I can live with, you know, okay, we're not winning a World Series anytime soon. All right, let's pump the brakes. All right, I'm Peter Bendix, I'm gonna get my guys, my system in here, and we're gonna do it this way. And we're gonna take a couple steps back, but this is the plan. We have a plan. Yep. Now it's just like there was all this bullshit about, oh, we're gonna be competitive, you know, we're gonna market the fuck out of this team. We don't want to take a step backwards. And now it's like, okay, well, we fucking suck. It's very clear why we fucking suck. Now the coach that everyone got invested in isn't coming back, you know, and
that was so weird.
And now we just know what this process is now. Just if you're like, if you watch an ounce of baseball, you know what comes next.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as a fan, I would have rather them said, okay, yeah, guys, we're trading Arise, we're trading Lizardo, we're trading Jazz, we're trading Berger, we're trading Bell, we're getting rid of everybody, and we're starting back at square one. I would have been pissed for a minute, but I would have been like, okay, at least there's vision. At least,
and you know what's funny? I would have looked forward to watching those games because I love watching the young guys.
Yeah,
I would have been like, develop. Yeah.
It's like the only exciting thing to watch at this team. Like, at this point, the only guy, like, I'm like, I can't wait to see him play is Max Meyer.
Monteverde. Oh,
I will watch every Max Meyer start because he's a young guy. Like, he's finally getting back healthy and like, he's going to do it. And Patrick Monteverde, don't worry, I still watch his games. And, you know, you get the minor league package with MLB TV. So I still check in on him. And,
well, that's the perfect transition because the next 6 games are all at home from now until the next time we record. And so you have a chance to go watch your boy Max Meyer if you want. We got the Braves tomorrow and Sunday. We got the Giants Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And since we record Thursday nights, we got the Cubs Thursday. The Braves, obviously, kick-ass team. The Giants haven't looked hot. They're, I believe, 4 games on the 500, and the Cubs are just about a 500 team at the moment, I believe. So I guess I'll start. I think we get our ass kicked by the Braves the next 2 games. I think we mustered out 1 win against the Giants, and I think we lose to the Cubs. I think we go 1-5 in our next 6 games, And that would bring us to 3-17 on the season, 20 games into the year. Brighton, how are you feeling about the next six games?
Braves for sure. We're going to get swept. Like it's,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's, that team is loaded from top to bottom.
It's insane. It so feels like they're cheating.
Yeah.
It's so stupid how good they are. It's so annoying how good they are.
There's no room to breathe. Everybody that comes up to bat is dangerous.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is Rogers handled him pretty well.
He did.
With Rogers, his velo is just so down, bro. He was like, his fastball's like 91, 92. Like,
but I think he's had more movement on his pitches. Fine. I want to look at this. Fish on First, I think, did a pitching analysis on him, and I want to look at that.
I said 5-1-5. C said 0-6. Brighton, where you at?
I think we're going to take two from the Giants.
Okay. I can see that.
I can see us rebounding. I think probably like the last game of that series is probably when Eddie comes back. And then I think we've got Lizardo going. No, Lizardo's against the Braves. So we probably have Rogers, Puck. Well, maybe we only get one. Maybe we only get one against the Giants. But, yeah, if Eddie's back for the Giants game, I can see us winning that game. If not, right. I think we only take one. So right. I agree with you.
We're not too far away from the $1 games again.
I looked on Game Time earlier. They're already back. You can go to one of the Giants games for a dollar, man, and you'll probably be able to sit where the fuck you want.
Behind home plate. I should have done it for the Angels. I remember I was telling my wife. I was like, you know what? I think I missed an opportunity because Mike Trout is a legendary player. He will go down as one of the greats of all time. And you can literally pay $1 or $2, sit behind home plate and watch him play for like two bucks.
Yeah. I got to see him play at Camden, so that was cool. But I checked that one off the bucket list.
Yeah, but your seats wouldn't be like here at Lone Depot, though.
No. All right, I can probably talk to him while he's in the on deck circle here.
For sure, for sure.
I mean, right now I just don't have any, like, I guess it's just like I'm in my ultimate low tonight. Like, I have no hope in us winning. I go into every game expecting to lose. I go into every game thinking we're going to play poorly. And the Giants can hit a little bit. You know, they're not a great team, but they have a couple guys who can swing it. And JD Davis is off to a great fucking start this year.
Solaire is going to come in.
Shout out to my fantasy team.
Solaire's going to come in, and he's going to be like, I'm going to destroy Lone Depot Park.
I'm gonna make you regret not giving me a qualifying offer. I think I'm with C's here. Like, I just don't see it. I don't, there's nothing I can point to in our game right now in the way the Marlins are playing that I'm like, maybe we'll sneak one out. I hope I'm wrong. I think the Giants series is a great opportunity to turn shit around a little bit because from the teams
facing, that would be it.
You know, because after them, we got the Cubs. We have the Cubs in Wrigley, which is always tough. But then we go back to the Braves. And then, you know what? At the end of the month, we have the Nationals and the Rockies back-to-back. That's those are two bad teams. Like, probably just as bad as we are, at least by the numbers. Those are two series that hopefully we're talking in 2 or 3 weeks. And we're like, okay, yeah, like, you know, we won five games there, you know, and shit doesn't feel so terrible. But
they just got to stop getting swept.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I think.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not confident. I'm just not confident in this team right now. I'm really not.
Brax. Listen, our hopes lie with Brax, and I think Brax will be back for that.
We all know how deeply I love Brax and Garrett. I hope that's the case.
I want him to come back and just be like, don't worry, the ace is here. And I want him to go 8 innings, hand the ball to Puck, and be like, listen, you finish us off, man. And then that catapults us into the rest of the season. Brian, it's not going to happen, but
if Puck comes in for a save opportunity, I'm throwing myself into traffic. Like, I want you.
Who do you want, Tanner?
Yeah, bring Tanner. Bring fucking Bender. I don't.
Oh shit! I just got a text from Spazzy. He said I want Sixto as our closer.
keep drinking those English beer. Our boy Spazzy's across the pond watching Arsenal this weekend. So
that's right, and. Just to put a little more salt on the wound, the Marlins have the least amount of extra base hits this season and have walked the fourth least in the major leagues, the least in the National League.
Do we have the fewest home runs also?
I don't think so. I'll tell you right now. We do not have the fewest home runs. We have the we're tied for third worst in home runs. The White Sox have only hit 8, which they also only have 2 wins this season. And the Twins have hit 9. We've hit 10. So
it's so sad. Like, this is our team. Like,
that's it.
And like I said, and it happened the other day. I was watching Jackson Holliday's first game, watching the Orioles game, and Orioles were down, and then they came, had that awesome comeback. And I was like, you know, up until that point, I was like, man, the Marlins offense isn't so bad, like we just talked about. And then, like, seeing the Orioles hit, I'm like, fuck, we're so bad.
Yeah, man, it's rough.
The Orioles, they're five. I think I've watched every, I've watched every Orioles game this year so far. I've been double screening it a lot, and just like the dichotomy of baseball is like one is just so I have to watch the Marlins on my laptop because I've
noticed that. I've noticed the big screen is always the Orioles.
Yeah, but it's because the reason being is because I'm not paying for Bally's, so I'm using a VPN to watch the Marlins.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm watching the Marlins through ethical means. So I have to watch them on my laptop because I also don't want to pay for the VPN.
You get that one device.
Laptop.
I watch the Marlins on this.
And then if it's a day game, I can watch the Marlins. Like I'm at work or something, I can pop up the Marlins on my laptop.
Yeah.
And then I have my phone or my TV for any other game I want to watch. So
that's what
I've been doing.
Well, I mean, the results suck for the Marlins, but I enjoyed being able to watch the Yankees and the Marlins at the same time this week. So that was cool. All right. Any final words there, Cali?
I hate everything. Happiness is a lie.
I love it. Brighton.
Don't go to the park this weekend. Don't.
I remember we talked depressed. About like, oh, we're gonna go to one of the Braves games, and now that I'm watching, I'm like, I'm so fucking glad we didn't buy tickets.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I want tomorrow. My tickets. They're like $8. Let's do it. And like, I think I got something that weekend, and then now where we are, I'm like, thank God, like we didn't do it because that would have been the saddest thing. Like, and I think because it was fun. In London, we didn't.
I will say the Marlins are doing the teacher appreciation thing again, and I got the email for it. So I'm going to the May 10th game against the Phillies with my wife and my daughter.
What the hell?
So I'll go to that. I think they're still available. I'm sitting section 2, row 1. That's where my tickets were.
Who are they playing against?
Phillies. So I'll watch us get absolutely shellacked as Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos and Bryce Harper send them to the fucking moon, put them in the Budweiser bar. And then I was looking for the Giants series. There's $1 tickets. I think it's for Tuesday or Wednesday. One of them's a 6:40 game that I'm like,
ooh,
maybe.
But you were close to there, so.
Yeah, I don't work too far from the stadium. I mean, the school I work at is in Sweetwater, so it's like I just hop on the 836 and I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Right.
But so it's one of those things like, you know, if I can find a way to not pay for parking. I think I would definitely do it. Just like, hey, after work, I call my wife again. Like, hey, I'm gonna go to this game. And
you gotta go to one of those abuelitas backyards.
Yeah, pay $5 or whatever. But
that's it.
You gotta text Spazzy. He knows the people.
He knows them.
He knows the places.
Those you can are Spazzy park. People.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all grow right. up the mustache and twist it up, and then
I'm Spazzy. I just grew,
a couple of inches.
Yeah.
All right. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And as always, if you joined us in the chat, we appreciate you chiming in. We're trying to make this as entertaining and lively as possible because it's going to be a shit year, but we're not going to give up. We'll be here every week anyway. If Peter Pratt can do it, we can do it once a week. So bless his heart.
Yeah.
So with that being said, hopefully they prove us wrong and then we come back and they're on a 6-game winning streak. Highly doubtful. But until the next one, have a good one.